Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years as radio small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. It's good to be with you. Thanks for staying with me. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. David Dossie is our guest, and he's been with us before. David is with Gallagher and Dossie, which is a law firm. Actually, you probably would call David a patent attorney. I like to think of him as an intellectual property attorney. I think that's kind of the way he thinks of himself, because it's much more than patents these days, folks. This whole intellectual property landscape that you've heard me talk about many times on the show, and I'm glad to have David here to talk to us about something that he's got on his mind, which I think is really going to be an important discussion for all of us. David, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Glad to be back.
It's good to have you back, David. As you know, and as my audience knows, for some time now, I've been trying to get small business owners to focus on their own intellectual property. And for some people, David, as you know, you almost have to explain that to them. I mean, and it's not their fault. It's not that they're ignorant or anything. It's just that intellectual property is not something that small business owners have really contemplated over the years, is it?
That's true. A lot of small businesses feel that only, the mega giants have intellectual property. And it's not until, something really scares them into thinking about intellectual property that they realize how much of their business is centered on it.
Well, and one of the things you want to talk about today is building a culture of intellectual property in our businesses. And I'm glad you want to do that, because I think this is really going to help all of us. I've been trying to talk about this for a long time and getting people to start thinking about these things. But David, one of the things that gets in the way, one of the things that has prevented, I think, small business owners from contemplating and from thinking about their own intellectual property is because we've all paid money for these things. We've all paid money for trademarks and service marks and websites and content on websites and things like that. But our best friend in the world, our banker, has never given us any credit for those.
True.
So there's actually been a culture of minimizing those assets, hasn't there?
It has. Fortunately, every now and then you'll hear about the value of a trademark. Building a successful product line and a well-established trademark, the value of that is you just can't put a number on it many times.
Well, and this is an area that bankers are really going to need to be focusing on. I hope they are, and I've encouraged all the ones that I know to start focusing on ways to help small business owners get the capital they need based on intellectual property and based on patents, based on electronic content, based on a lot of electronic customer bases and things like that. That a lot of bankers don't even understand, and so if they don't understand it, they're not going to loan any money on it.
Right. Yeah, you definitely need to find a banker especially if you're a startup business heavily dependent on technology that you developed. Maybe you're a spinoff company from a university or something to that extent, and everything you have is your intellectual property.
Right.
And you have to obtain funding based upon that as collateral. And it takes a special banker to appreciate that and assign a value to it.
Well, and more small business owners that were traditional businesses and still are, but more and more of their working capital is going to fund intellectual property, like a website, like an online resource where people can shop, if not buy.
Absolutely.
And those things cost money, and it takes money out of our traditional operation, and sometimes we need help with that. And so, when we talk about a culture of intellectual property in our small businesses, we really need to be thinking about a marketplace culture, don't we?
Yes.
And that's a bigger project. I'm not sure, you know, most of us are not ready to take that on, but I do think it's the kind of thing that we need to help our bankers with. Don't you think that when we talk to our bankers and say, you know what, you guys, you know, I'd encourage you to think about these things.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, as you've pointed out many times on your show, the percentage of a company's assets that are hard assets just keeps dwindling, and it's
right.
going to keep dwindling, and the percentage that's intellectual property is just ever increasing. And you know, at some point the banks have to realize this and really afford small businesses the benefit of that.
But we can't ask our banker to take those things seriously if we don't talk about it in ways that help them to do that. When we come back, I want you to help us to get our to appreciate and to value our intellectual property, and also to defend it. That's one of the things that you help small business owners with. And we're going to do that right after these messages. David Dossie is our guest. It's 2012. Stay with us. Hi, folks. This is Jim Blassingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get a practical answer to your small business question by an expert member of My Brain Trust? Well, you can do that at IBM's Resource Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/sbresources. Want to see how others are using technology? Go to IBM's Online Resource Center to find case studies and articles that address many business challenges and opportunities. Want to find the technology solutions for your size business, including email marketing, web hosting, broadband, security, and wireless? All that and more is at ibm.com/businesscenter/sbresources. And then, when you're ready for your next PC system, IBM has a handy tool that will help you customize just the right desktop PC or ThinkPad system for your business. Remember, that's the IBM Resource Center at www.ibm.com/businesscenter/sbresources. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend David Dossie with Gallagher & Dossie in beautiful downtown Columbus, Ohio, an intellectual property firm there. David, give us your website, please.
It is www.invention-protection.com.
All right. And tell us what we'll find when we get there.
Oh, you'll find all sorts of resources for small businesses and inventors, newsletter articles, links to good websites, as well as information about our firm.
All right. So check that out, folks, when you can. David, we're talking about this building a culture of intellectual property and in our organizations, and I think that effort should extend to the people around us, our regular attorneys, our CPA, our banker, a lot of folks that support us. And one of the things that we can expect our employees and our customers and our competitors and our bankers to appreciate it, we can expect them to appreciate our intellectual property if we don't do it ourselves. So give us some ideas about how we can become a little more of an advocate for our own intellectual property.
Well, the biggest thing is to recognize that just because you're small, you're still playing on the same field as the giants. And if you don't take it seriously and protect yourself, it's just a matter of time before something comes and really takes a blow to your business.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the name of your business, you know, that someone now is coming after you and saying you can no longer use it or can't use it because it infringes their trademark,
mm-hmm.
or just swipes content off your website because they feel it's not protected by copyright for one reason or another.
Right, because you haven't identified it as copyrighted information.
Right, and simply educating your employees on certain things, you know, intellectual property issues such as trademark and copyright, it just offers tremendous advantage to your business.
Right,
and a lot of small businesses don't appreciate just how simple even federal copyright registration is and how inexpensive it is.
Explain that to us.
Well, federal copyright registration, you can learn a tremendous amount of it at the Library of Congress website, which is copyright.gov. If you federally register your copyright, then if someone illegally copies your work, there, you don't have to prove damages. You don't have to prove that it cost you, that you lost a certain amount of money because of their copying.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, the government has recognized that it's important to protect this. Therefore, they've established what's called statutory damages. So if you can prove someone copied your federally registered copyrighted work,
mm-hmm.
you can get mandatory damages against that party.
Mm-hmm.
Almost, the government looks at it as setting an example to others.
It's almost like a menu, isn't it?
Right.
Now, and folks, copyright doesn't have a W in it, by the way. It's copyright, right?
Right.
So that's one thing to remember. So it's copyright.gov, is that right?
Correct.
So that's where you can go and learn about that. But simply, if you establish it as your work, I mean, doesn't just putting the circle C on it, doesn't that copyright it as well?
Absolutely. That's, copyright, few people appreciate that copyright exists as soon as you create a work.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I write a little story, let's say, I have a stake in that story, then you go ahead and put the copyright symbol 2004, your name on it, perhaps put all rights reserved afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You've established common law copyright.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone then copies that, you could still go after them and recover what it cost you, your damages,
mm-hmm.
the money you lost due to their copying.
Right.
But if you actually then take it a step further and register it with the Library of Congress, which only costs $30 registration fee, then you've taken it to a whole other class where if people copy it, you're looking at statutory damages. You don't
mm-hmm.
have to prove damages.
All right. What about other types of intellectual property, like our trademarks?
Trademark is another one that a lot of people, small businesses especially, will start, whether it's a tagline for their business, a business name, or just advertisements, don't appreciate that they need to be aware of other people's trademarks. And unfortunately, we have a client right now that was using another person's trademark in their advertising, saying this product is good as or better than this,
mm-hmm.
and of course that company doesn't appreciate that.
Right.
And so you just need to be aware of other people's trademarks, especially before you invest a lot of money in launching a new product or starting your business.
You mentioned common law copyright. Is there common law trademarking?
There is. You can put the superscript TM beside essentially any mark you come up with.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can take it to the next step. You can register it with a state. So you could have a state trademark registration.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be for, like, local businesses, like a family restaurant that's never going to expand outside
right.
of the state.
Right.
And then the next step would be federal trademark registration. And that does require your business to do interstate commerce. So you have to be selling across the borders for federal trademark registration.
Right.
But, again, that's just another feather in your cap, showing your commitment to intellectual property. And, again, it is not expensive.
Well, and at a time, David, when... Exactly. I mean, I think it's like $300 and something for
right,
to register
$345.
A trademark or a service mark. And at a time, David, when more and more people are becoming national and international businesses simply by putting up a website,
right?
Then this there are some things that have happened, folks, in the last 10 years that have made us have intellectual property that we need to defend just by basically putting up a website. And so I encourage you to think about those things. We're going to talk about this some more. When we come back, I'm going to ask David to explain to us the difference between a service mark and a trademark. Stay with us.
I get a strong, uneasy feeling. You're not sitting there alone. I'm having
love. Love is strange. Lot of
we're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. The small business advocate, David Dossie, is our guest. He's a partner in the firm, in the intellectual property law firm of Gallagher and Dossie in Columbus, Ohio. The great state of Columbus, a great state of Ohio, and the great city of Columbus. David, give us your website again, please.
It's www.invention-protection.com.
So, and David, you probably, like a lot of industries, I mean, I know that you work with people that are not just in Columbus, Ohio. They're all over the country, don't you?
Right, absolutely.
So, folks, if go ahead.
Well, it's actually international, you know.
All right.
People are surprised to learn that almost half the patents filed in the United States are foreign, you know, inventors or foreign entities.
I didn't know that. Very interesting. So, folks, if you have anything, check out David's website and see what he has to offer. And I'm sure, David, if somebody wanted to find a local person to work with them and to get face-to-face with them and they weren't in your area, you'd help them find somebody like that.
And I
appreciate that about you. Okay. Talk to us about what a service mark is and what's the difference between it and a trademark.
Okay. Well, a general mark in general, whether it's a service mark or a trademark, is, you know, a word, a name, a symbol, or a device, or any combination thereof to identify either your goods, if it's a trademark, or your services, if it's a service mark, from you, that are provided by you, from those provided by another party. So if you actually produce product or goods, you need to be thinking of trademark. If you're in the business of services like accounting, consulting, legal services, you need to be thinking of service marks.
Mm-hmm. All right. And these are all things that we need. But regardless, they're both designations on the way to the Circle R, right?
Exactly.
I mean, these are temporary things that you establish to let people know that you intend to secure this mark or this designation or this name or whatever on your way to getting it registered.
Right.
And that's the difference, right? The only thing – well, go ahead and explain the difference between an SM and a TM and then the Circle R.
Well, we tell all our small business clients, as soon as you come up with a mark that you want to identify your goods or services with, start putting superscript, either SM after it or superscript TM after it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put out our newsletter and we put a little tagline that we just came up with that we thought was creative. So automatically we put SM after it.
Right.
Then that is letting other people know you are asserting that you have some rights in that mark. Then if you move further to applying for federal trademark registration or service mark registration, and if it does register with the United States Patent and Trademark Office, that's when you can use the R with the circle around it.
Right.
And that's what you see, you know, beside Coca-Cola, beside
right.
Nike.
Mm-hmm. So in your newsletter, the title of the newsletter and maybe a logo would have SM on it.
Right.
But in the body of the letter, the content would be copyrighted.
Right. You would have
two different protections in that one instrument, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Now, a couple of minutes left to go. How do we help our employees to understand the importance? What are some things that we need to do to help them not only understand the importance of intellectual property, but to help us protect it?
Well, I would say it depends on your organization. If you're rolling out new products left and right, then you need to just educate them. You know, spend a half hour or an hour, get everyone together for a lunch. We've put training sessions on at lunches at companies just to educate them on trademarks and patents and the pitfalls to avoid. You know, there are a lot of simple things that if your employees aren't aware of them, they can just fall right into a hole, and it hurts the company. You know, it doesn't hurt the employee.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need to make sure that people say, for example, one thing, just to say the name of the company, always say it correctly, or as often as you can, use the tagline, or make sure that whenever they wouldn't think about leaving the keys in a truck unlocked.
Right.
And it's the same thing. That's a piece of property just like your service mark is, isn't it?
Yes. And one of the biggest things we see with small businesses is employees will sign agreements that their suppliers, say, put forth to them
right.
and say, well, this is our standard agreement, or here's mm-hmm. a standard non-compete agreement or non-disclosure agreement, and they'll just sign it without
right.
really reading it and understanding the effect it's going to have on the company.
And making sure that that other management are involved as well.
Right.
David, thank you for being here. Good job today. We got a lot more to talk about, and we're going to do it in the future.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. Thank you for being here. David Dossie, ladies and gentlemen, with Gallagher & Dossie, intellectual property firm out of Columbus, Ohio. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. But whatever you do, don't go away. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.